Good morning and welcome to the Mountain View Baptist Church radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin J. Norton inviting you and your family to any of our services beginning on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our Sunday school at 10:45, our worship service begins, and then Sunday evening at 5 p.m. We also have a midweek prayer service on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Our program can also be seen on the local cable channel 97 on the second and fourth Thursday night at 8 p.m. Our services are also found live on YouTube. Our church is located 1 mile off the Mountain View Road in Tryon. We're just an old-fashioned Bible-believing church where Jesus is Lord. Come be with us. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you is our prayer.
Beside this chilly waters, waiting for my final call.
Standing by the river.
from the land of endless beauty, where no surges rise and fall. Standing by the river, looking me on.
Standing by the river,
waiting for the boatman.
Listening to the music.
Listening to the music on the other shore.
I can hear the angels
singing out a welcome with my friends and loved ones who have gone before. Music from the land of endless glory fall upon my listening ear.
Standing by the river,
standing by the river, looking me on. Faces of my friends I often vision, forms of loved ones oft appear. Standing by the river, looking me on.
Standing by the river,
waiting for the boatman.
Listening to the music,
listening to the music on the other shore.
I can hear the angels
singing out a welcome with my friends and loved ones who have gone before. Shadows of the night are swiftly falling low. I hear the boatman's oar.
Standing by the river,
standing by the river, looking beyond. Many are the voices sweetly calling, I must tarry here no more.
Standing by the river,
looking beyond. Boatman.
Listening to the music.
Listening to the music on the other shore.
I can hear the angels
singing out a welcome with my friends and loved ones who have gone before.
Thank you, Pastor. I really appreciate the opportunity of being able to be on the broadcast today, and I pray that the Lord would help you today to have a wonderful day, and may the Lord help you in the house of God today. I'm going to be reading out of Mark chapter 16 and read just one verse to you and preach what the Lord has laid upon my heart for this morning. Look in verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Lord help me, I want to preach just a little while on the gospel. 37 times in the New Testament, you'll find the phrase, preach the gospel. I enjoy teaching, that's why we need to go to Sunday school and hear the word of God, but I like good old-fashioned stomp-down preaching, amen. And the Bible said to preach the gospel. We're to proclaim the gospel. That's not just for the men. That's for the men, the women, the preacher, the Sunday school teacher, the teenager. That's for every one of us to proclaim the wonderful good news of the gospel. Then we're to publish the gospel. We're to put out the word of God, gospel tracts. To put out the gospel tract, you can put them anywhere where someone can pick it up and read the word of God. My former pastor that I came up under, he was a drunkard before the Lord had saved him. His wife had gotten saved first. And so what she began to do was put the gospel tract in his work boots about every other day. Put them in the bathroom, lay them on the table. And I say what she did with them tracts was she tracked him down. Amen. The word of God will work. And he got born again. I want to give you four thoughts today and maybe dwell a little bit more on the third one. But I want to start off preaching first of all on the meaning of the gospel. The meaning of the gospel. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He gives us the meaning of the gospel. It's very simple. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. I say, first of all, it's the beating and the bleeding of our Savior. When we think of the word gospel from here today and on out, we need to think of Calvary. Because had it not been for Calvary, there'd be no gospel. I think about how they beat our precious Lord, how that they blasphemed him, they blindfolded him, and they punched him in the face. Had no doubt his eyes were swollen shut. They spat upon him. They plucked his beard. They beat the meat off of his back. He done all of that for you and I, and that is what the gospel is. Amen. When we hear the word from now on, we ought to think of Mount Calvary, what Jesus done for you and I. That is what the gospel is. And then it's the burial. I thought about the fact that he had to have a borrowed tomb. I believe because, first of all, he wasn't planning on staying there long. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad he got up the third day. But I thought about that he didn't even have a place to be buried. But we know that he also didn't even have a place to live. The Bible said, Jesus said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. I'm grateful that the Lord who had everything was willing to give that up, who I had nothing to give me everything. Thank God for the gospel. And then it's the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He said in Luke chapter 24, he said, see, it is I, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. I don't understand how anybody can take that scripture and believe that Jesus only got up in his spirit. Now, I'm not the smartest fella in the classroom, but I can easily understand what he's saying here, and that is that he got up in his body, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and thank God that he did. Amen. I'm glad, hallelujah, that I'm alive and well this morning because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number two, not only the meaning of the gospel, but the message of the gospel. The word gospel means good news. I thought about Luke chapter 2. I thought about when the shepherds were out there in the field minding their own business. And the Bible said that the heavenly host descended and the skies lit up. And they said to them shepherds, we're bringing you good tidings. I thought about the gospel being a good message. You know why it's a good message? Because it was a good day when I found out that I didn't have to die and go to hell. It's a good day as an 8-year-old boy when I found out that God would save me just as I was. I'm glad that I was able to come just as a little 8-year-old boy, a sinner, a lost without God. And I came to him and he accepted me and received me just as I was. Thank God. It's a good message, and it's a glad message. The Bible said that they rejoiced. Oh, I'm telling you, we have lost that element in our churches today of rejoicing because of salvation. Oh, how much we have to rejoice. We ought to thank God this morning for salvation. We ought to be glad that we're not going to hell. I don't know about you, but I'm glad this morning that I'm not going to hell. I'm glad this morning that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's a glad message. You have to get the setting. It was from the Old Testament to the New Testament, about 400 years of silence. God had not spoken to the children of Israel. And now, all of a sudden, he said, he's here. The Messiah has come. Thank God, redemption has come. The Lord has been born. That just excited them. I'm glad, thank God, I can tell you that there is a better way. Maybe you're listening this morning and you're lost without God. Thank God there's a better way. You don't have to die and go to hell. I'm glad the gospel is for everyone, amen. It's a glad message. Let me say, it's a global message. I'm glad it doesn't matter. It's red, yellow, black, or white. We're all precious in his sight. I'm glad it don't matter what side of the tracks you're born on. I'm glad it doesn't matter. My family, they were not the elite. My family, we were not wealthy. If you had to be elite or if you had to be wealthy, I would have never got in. But the Bible said the common people received him gladly. Oh, I'm glad he came. I'm glad he came as a babe in a manger, that the common people can receive him gladly. He came to the shepherds. They were the poorest of the poorest. He went to the wise men. They were the wealthiest of the wealthiest. He went from one end to the other, and that covers everybody in between. I'm glad the ground is level at the foot of the cross. I'm glad that the kings over in the other countries, they've got to bow at the feet of Jesus just like I do. Our president of the United States has to bow before the Lord Jesus just like we all. I'm glad the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Thank God, hallelujah, for the message of the gospel. I want to read another verse in Corinthians. This is where I want to maybe stay for maybe the remainder of the broadcast. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he talked about our gospel being hid. He said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And I thought of, how do we hide? That word hid means to cover. That gives me my third point, the masking of the gospel. I thought, how do we mask the gospel? How do we cover the gospel? How do we hide the gospel? And I thought we do it, first of all, by our silence. By our silence. I know we don't have the ability to talk to everybody we see. That's not possible. But everybody the Spirit of God deals with our heart about, we need to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was about 14 or 15 years old. My pastor lived down the street around the corner from me. And there's a young man that was on the corner during summer school. We was out of school, and I go by to that young man to go to my pastor's house. And one day the Lord spoke to me and said, talk to that boy about me. And I said, Lord, I don't know how and what to say. I'm nervous. And he said, just tell him what I've done for you. Thank God. You know, that's always good enough. That'll work. Just tell him what the Lord's done for you. Amen. But I didn't do it, and the next day I didn't do it, and the next day I didn't do it, and the next day I didn't do it. About 2 weeks later, I happened to know the young boy wasn't there. And I asked somebody, where's that young man that was there on the corner? They said, you didn't know, last week he got hit by a car, and he died. That young boy's blood's on my hands. I had opportunity to give him the gospel, and I did not take that opportunity. Several years ago, I was preaching in Chesney, South Carolina. I had stopped at a service station to get something to drink. And the Lord said, give that woman a tract. And I looked behind me and several people were in the line. And I said, Lord, I really don't want to embarrass her. But the truth of the matter is we don't want to embarrass ourselves. I got in the car and I drove across the bridge. The motel was just right across the bridge. And the Lord said to me, are you going to treat her like you did that little boy? And I said, no, sir, I'm not. And I dropped my wife off at the motel, turned around, went back, and gave that woman a gospel tract. All that we would not cover by our silence. Number two, we cover our gospel by our sin. Listen to me today, church. You cannot live in the world with the world and then invite them to church. They're not going to come. If you tell the same dirty jokes and you live and do the same thing, then you invite them to revival. They're not going to come. God help us not to cover our gospel by our sin. Help us to live as an example. You know what? A standards and holy living in our life is not about us. It's about somebody seeing Jesus in us. The purpose is not to brag on our self-righteousness. We know we don't have any. The purpose is that somebody might see Jesus in us. God help us. We had a man preach a revival at our church, and he said that he knew a young man. He had went to this church, and this woman had prayed for her son who had gotten out in sin and moved out of the house and was living a life of sin. And she begged him to come to revival. They had one man Monday through Friday, and they brought in a young man to finish it out on Sunday morning. So Friday night, he finally said, if you'll leave me alone, I'll go on Sunday morning. Saturday night, that young man who promised his mother that he would go went and sat down at the bar. And he got him a drink. And he looked over to a young man and he said, I promised somebody I'd be somewhere in the morning. I'm getting my courage up. The other young man said, yes, me too. He went to the church that Sunday morning, and as he was sitting there, they introduced the young preacher for the morning. Guess who it was? It was the young man that he sat across from and drank a beer with the night before. God help us tonight. God help us this morning. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? What a testimony. I don't know if that young man is saved or not, let alone called to preach. But what I do know is that he covered up his testimony. He covered up the gospel. That young man jumped up, ran out of church and told his mother, I will never come back to church again. God help us not to cover up the gospel by our sin. Let me say number three, we cover up the gospel by our selection. You know how it is sometimes. We'll see maybe a neighborhood. We'll see maybe a house that's got cars all out in the front yard and the grass hasn't been mowed and beer cans everywhere. And you know what we'll say? Wow, they don't want the gospel. How do we know they don't want the gospel? They sure need the gospel, amen. We don't have the right to choose who we're going to give the gospel to. God help us in our selection. My nephew has a wife that has lupus. About 3 years ago, they were expecting their first child. And that lupus attacked her body. And of course, they lost the child. And her kidneys had shut down and her heart began to shut down. She was in a coma for 2 months. She got out of that coma and they put her in a room with another patient next to her. And his sister, my niece, and her husband went and talked to them. And he began to witness to that man next to her. And he began to tell him about Jesus. And my niece and her husband, they have a little boy at that time that was 8 years old named Justin. Justin was one of them fellas that if you pay $10, he's not going to stand still. He's wide open all the time. But while his daddy was giving that man the gospel, Justin had slipped up there and grabbed a hold of his daddy's pant leg and just stood like a little soldier, listening to every word. About 20 minutes, he'd give that man the gospel. He pulled on his pant leg and he said, "Daddy, are you trying to keep that man out of hell?" He said, "I sure am, son. That's what I'm trying to do." Excuse me. He said, "That's what I'm trying to do." And he said, he gave him about 10 more minutes. And he said, "I asked that man, sir, do you want to be saved?" And he said, "I don't believe I do." And he said, on the way home, that little boy began to weep. And he said, "Daddy, you got to pull over. I've got to get saved." And he said, "Son, we'll take care of that when we get home." He said, "No, sir, Daddy, you told that man not to put it off." He said, "I want to get saved." That daddy thought that he was giving the man that gospel, but the Holy Ghost was giving it to that boy. Thank God. Hey, you listen to me. He called me the next morning. "Uncle Bobby, I got saved." Amen. I'm glad God knows what he's doing. We just give the gospel, amen, and let God do the rest. Let me give you this before I close. We see the misuse of the gospel. The misuse of the gospel. Galatians chapter 1. Paul said, "Though an angel were to come down from heaven and bring another gospel, don't believe it." I'll be honest with you. If an angel came down from heaven, it'd get my attention. But I tell you, the word of God is true. We live in a day that they're correcting the gospel. They are changing the gospel. They are canceling the gospel altogether. Our president and the one before him and the one before him, they all make this blanket statement that there's many paths to heaven. I've got news for you today, friend. There is only one path to heaven, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one way. There will never be 14 paths to heaven. People say going to heaven is like going to town, 14 ways to get there. I've got news for you. There's only one way, and that is the Lord Jesus. I pray the Lord will bless your day today. I appreciate this opportunity. May the Lord help you. Amen.